the Lord. Usually I go into a church, and the people don't know me, and I see everybody watching. And I can almost read every mind. What kind of a guy is he? Look at those red shoes. Do they have to be red? Whatever is he trying to show? I think he's showing off. Well, I am showing off. I'm showing to the people that the red color on my shoes signifies the blood of Jesus Christ, which cleanses us from all unrighteousness. I go into the streets. I go into the places where most people don't dare to go. And it's exciting. It's an exciting thing. I used to play and sing for the world on Hee Haw and Country Hold Down. I've given up on all these things. You know, it's kind of ironic. And one lady came along one day. She says, she looks me over. She says, "You are a minister? You look like a nut." I said, "That's all right, but I'm screwed down to the right bolt." But that's what it's all about, isn't it? Whether you fit in the kingdom of God. You may not necessarily fit into a certain society or group or, you know, I tell you something, I fit in with the Lord. I get saved and God says to me, "Blow the trumpet in Zion. Tell my people the things they shouldn't do." So I've been going all over the place. Matter of fact, we just came from Europe and I was able to speak in 20 major cities in Europe. And we do that, we go to Holland, Belgium, Germany, France, Italy, Spain, and I know several languages, and the one is very unique, and that is when I sing in the Russian language out of the University of South Florida. And I am told that when I am on the air, that 1.6 million people can hear me. By the modern technology, Jesus said his word will be going all over the world. It's happening. It's happening. And I get stopped in the streets sometimes, and the people tell me, are you a singer? I say, "Yes, ma'am." "Will you sing for me?" "Sure." Smack in the middle of Walmart, I just start to sing some songs. And sometimes I play the organ with the left hand, the trumpet with the right hand. And I believe this afternoon we're going to have a little bit of a youth time, and I'll show them some little things that can be done with instruments. But you know what? It's an exciting life. Do you know we have to have usually a cart to get in a swimming pool or a stamp on your hand, or you have to go into a place where they do some dancing. You have to have a stamp on your hand or a cart. I've got a cart for all of it. Jesus says, go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel. And it has not been very easy, because sometimes people come up to you and they tell you, smack in your face, "I like you, I don't like you." I said, "That's all right, the devil don't like you, don't like me either, it's all right." One night at 2 o'clock, I had a call, and I was on duty, I guess. Because there was a telephone call, and the man on the phone said, "We have a problem here, and we want you to come down." And at that time, I was teaching in Berean Bible College, and I was one of the teachers, and he says, "We want you to come over now." I said, "Man, come on, it's 2 o'clock in the morning. What do you think I am, a night owl?" He said, no, but it's very important." So, okay. Because you preach on something in the street we didn't like. And then you said something we like. I said, "Well, make yourself clear." "Well, you said that Satan was mighty. We like that. But then you said Satan is also not mighty, because God will trample him under his feet. He's a loser. We want you to come down to our place, because we have, I believe this particular story is also in my book. And we want you to come and prove your point. We have a young lady here brought under hypnosis of Satan. We want you to get her out of it." Well, I've never done anything in demonology. You hear sometimes, you know, some weird stories of people and places. And I went down, and the house was just full of young people. And they must have been all smoking up, because it smelled like mad. It stank really terrible. And they were dressed a Jane, and they were as tough as Tarzan, and some smelled like cheetah. But I thought, you know, they all need Jesus. I said, okay, but where is the situation? Well, here's a girl. She's been brought under the hypnosis of Satan, and we want you to take her out of it. Her name is so-and-so. I said, no, that's not it. Her real name is Susan White. She lives on Mount Hamilton. How would you know that? I said, because she threw a tomato at my head. And I told her that in the park, with 1,000 people standing around. I said to her, God is going to get even with you. God's going to deal with you yet. And yes, sir, there was the same woman. When she woke up, because I said, in the name of Jesus, Satan, get out! She woke up and she started to cry. She said, Brother Tom, I said, that's right. So I helped her off the couch and led her to a saving knowledge of Christ. And about 3 weeks later, I was able to baptize 11 of his followers, plus the priest, baptize him in Lake Erie, in the name of the Lord. And today, they're serving Jesus. See, you never know. When God says, go ye therefore into all the world. Yeah, but you know, we are in a way a little timid, you see, because don't forget we are the old Amish, you know, the old Mennonites, and we don't often do that. We are not that forward that we just go up to a person and ask him we're a little shy. Well, get rid of the shyness and ask God for boldness. Because God has said, open your mouth and I will fill it. I don't hear to amen. If you can't say amen, say oh me, something wrong with me. And so I go to these different places. And the other day I met a woman. And she says, you certainly don't want to talk to me. She says, I'm a prostitute. I said, do you know that you people are going to go ahead of many into the kingdom of God, the Bible tells us? And so I said, here is $5. And I gave her $5. And I thought that's very cheap. Well, I'm a Dutchman, and we're not known for throwing the money away. So I gave her $5. She said, what am I going to do with it? I said, do what you want with it, but I want you to have $5. A dollar for every minute I talk to you. So I talked to her for 5 minutes, and in those 5 minutes, she told me that she had a son, that she was a prostitute. And she had a son who had a disease, and he was not able to be healed anymore. God miraculously healed that boy, and mother is still serving the Lord in church as a deaconess. She's going strong for Jesus. You see, sometimes, you know, we kind of back off, maybe a little shy, a little, but it's really the outcome be? Well, leave the outcome to Jesus. I was reading the Bible one day, and the Bible, it says right there that it is so hard for a rich man to get into the kingdom of God. It's easier for an camel, you know, to go through an eye of a needle than it is for a rich man into the kingdom of God. And so what do you want me to do with this, Lord? God said, go. So I went to the House of Commons here in Canada. Would you believe? I'm such a good-looking guy, you know. Ask me, I'll tell you. You know, but they didn't want to let me in. They said, no, I'm sorry. I said, well, how can I get in? Well, if you were an ambassador, or you were something like that, you know, and a representative of a country, okay, then you could come in. I said, well, I am. You mean to say I didn't tell you that? I'm sorry, that's my mistake. Yes, I'm an ambassador. Oh, for what land? I said, I'm an ambassador for Jesus Christ. I said, and I'm representing the New Jerusalem. It's on the way. Hallelujah. God's working on it. Okay, this way, please. When I got into the room, and I had my accordion with me and my trumpet. And he said, are you moving in? He was joking, of course. I said, no. I said, I just came to tell you the gospel, and I just came to sing for you. So I pulled the accordion out, and I sang a beautiful hymn. And he started to cry. He says, my stepmother used to sing this for me when I was a little boy. And then he said, no, don't go away. Stay. Another song, please, stay. And he said, now, he says, will it still do something? You think that after all the signatures I made in the House of Commons, on various situations, which I shouldn't, and that Jesus will still forgive me. I said, he is standing like this with open arms. He says, come, now we'll make all things new. He cried, that man, he cried. Senator Thompson of the House of Commons. He cried like a baby. And I tell you something, I'm not much of a man either, I guess, because I think I cried harder than he did. But you know, there was victory that day. I left that day with a song on my heart and $25,000 in my left pocket to support my ministry. Who says God is not alive? God is real. He's not in a doctrine or in a teaching or in a... No, he's alive and he's real. And he wants each and every one of us to honor him and to worship him. But you know, the problem is, you know, so often, you know, we can't even get along with God. You know, we have all kinds of excuses. I had a hand with Wurmbrand years ago, smuggling Bibles behind the Iron Curtain. I got caught. Silly me, of course, for anybody. Nobody got caught. They all got through. They all had a few Bibles in the trunk, but they caught me. So I got caught, and he says, now, he said, listen, I'm going to make it easy on you, but I want to tell you something. He said, if when you Christians meet another Christian from, wouldn't matter from where, he says, you know, you're so different. When we meet and communists from another country, even from Indochina, we shake hands and we're comrades. We're comrades. We do the same thing. He said, you guys, you meet each other, you get your Bible out and you start arguing. Well, there was a lot of truth in that. And I came back, and soon after that I met Corrie Ten Boom. Because with all my running, I ran away into a certain direction, and I thought, I don't know. I see so many men, women, children, naked, nothing on, in the snow, 3-4 inches in the snow. They all had a bar of soap in their hands because they were told that they were going to have a shower, and after the shower is over, they were going to have a nice hot cup of coffee. And so that was a bit of a comfort for them. So they led them one after the other into a big chamber. They locked the doors. And then there was a screaming, unbelievable screaming. When the screaming stopped, they would say to each other, now they're in Chuntot. Now they're dead. They would get the bulldozers in there and scrape the naked bodies out of there. Terrible. And lately I've really been thinking about these things. Lately I've been thinking about, what about those Jewish people who got picked up? They had souls. Some of them, they called upon the God of Abraham. At one point, I was caught. I ran away from concentration camp, and I was caught, and I was only 13. I was taken by the Nazis to play and to sing at age 11 already. And I ran away, and so they said it to each other, let's kill that little Jew. And about 4 months ago, I took my wife with me to the very place where we were in hiding. And I showed her the very place. I said, that's in that area, in long grass there. That's where I was laying, waiting for the shots to come. And I was listening for the word, Feuer. I mean fire. And it didn't come. And you know, I was not a Christian. I did not know how to pray. You people can pray, you can say, oh Lord, please let these guys move out of the way and let them walk away and set us free. But I didn't know how to pray. You know what I did? I prayed a very, very simple prayer. And all I said was, God of Abraham, where are you now? And so they were going to shoot, and the guns did not want to go off. And they were so angry, they threw the guns on the floor, and they stamped on it, and they were mad. And while they were arguing, who should have put bullets in where, and you know, I took off again. And I went on the run, and I was free. And here I am today. Hey, I'm almost 80, but I'm still alive. You see, it shows the devil is a poor shot. The devil is a poor shot. Don't be afraid of him. No. But God is alive. God is alive. And during the wartime, it was a hard time. I would go at night, we had a curfew after 6 o'clock, We couldn't go outside. Because after 6 o'clock, if anybody was seen outside without the uniform, he would automatically be shot. I would go out. I would go under the barbed wire, crawl under the barbed wire, put a couple of little sticks so I could find it again later on in the dark. And I would go to the hen nest, the hen house. And, the fire wasn't very famous by the, with those farmers, I know. I stole their eggs every day. So I went in there and I went through a little hole like this where a chicken goes through. And I was small, which was a good thing, but, and I felt, oh, I thought, I got some chicken. No, they were too soft. It was yuck, you know what I mean? So I tried again and tried again, and finally I found a few chicken eggs close together. And yes, sir, I thought, I'm not going to lose these guys. So I put them in my pants. And I went through that hole, and as I was halfway that hole, I hear the farmer holler out, come on, pack him bait, put him in the mask, come on, pack him. He was sick in the dark on me. Oh, that put some goosebumps on my arms. I tell you, so I went through that hole like a bullet, and I got out, I ran home, and my mom said, my God, Toka, what have you done? Look at her, are you full of eggs? I had to take my pants off, and my mom had a wooden spoon, and she scraped the egg off my leg so she could still save some, so she can have at least a bit of a fried egg. Now, this is humorous right now, but it is not when your stomach is really, really gnawing on you and working with you. It's not. And that happened several times. And in Florida, we milk 7 goats right now. And they asked me, how come I could milk goats so well? Because Pat and I were both going to do some goats. And, I just started to milk. By the time she got a good hold of whatever, you know, I had mine already empty. I said, well, I learned well from the Germans. Because I would go in the same place. After some eggs, I would go and I'd steal some milk for the family. So we stayed alive. My clothing, I tell you, going through the barbed wire. Oh, the Bible speaks about going into the hedges and highways and compel them to come in. I didn't have to compel those eggs to come in. I just have to grab them up and take them out. But my clothes were all torn up, and my shoes were all, my wooden shoes, they were all broken up. My dad several times had to put something in a little piece of steel over it to hold it together. And it happened many times that, oh my goodness, I had to walk back again to pick up my shoe. There's always one or two shoes missing on the road, and hardly any clothes. So my mother said, if you can get some material, I'll make a suit for you, Toke. And so I went to the place where they guard all the material for the German soldiers, and I had to do something to draw the guard's attention. So I said to the one guy who was standing there, you know, he was walking up and down, you know, to guard the place. All of a sudden, I said, Mensen machen einen dood. Deine Freunde, die machen deine Freunde kaputt. Ja, ich habe selbst schon gesehen. You know, I've seen it myself. They were killing your friend. What sagst du? He said, what did you say? And he just straightened out his gun and he went outside, you know, to see who was going to go and kill his friend. That was only a story, so I got him out of the way so I can get some linen and an old army blanket, brought it to my mother. So my mother made me a nice suit. I still have the pictures of it, with a beret, you know, and I talk about itching. Oh, God bless America. I was so itchy. Mom would call me in, just took it, I have something to eat, are you coming in, and I have something for you there. Okay, Mom, I'll be there. What did you say, Mom? You know, oh, I scratch him because there's nothing more itching than those old green German blankets. But I was dressed. And so it was a hard time. So one day my dad said, okay, you want to go with me? I got to go and see my sister. She's just on the Merwede on the other side. And We have to see it because we haven't heard anything. The latest we heard is that they had all cordoned off and they were starving them to death. The Nazis were going to try to see how long it would take before a little family would starve to death from hunger. So when we finally were in a little boat, couldn't go any other way, so I had to steal a little rowboat. So we were rowing, and every time when the light came over, my dad would say, duik it out. Okay, duik it. I mean, duck. And so, through the light, and so we got it to the other side. When we came to our uncle's house, my uncle was on the couch. He was all exploded. And we came to my uncle's sister, my dad's sister, and she was still alive. He says, well, Toke has been able to get some eggs and some bread and stuff, and you got to eat something, and I'm going to take you home. And then she said something I never forgot. She said, it's too late. He heard the angel singing. She must have been a Christian. It is too late. I hear the angels sing, she says, in pure Dutch. So, and then I heard a little girl calling out, Mama. I said, oh, yeah, I have a cousin here, too. So I rolled my cousin up in an old blanket. We took her over the river, and she died the day after. And we were putting her on the dead wagon. Every morning a dead wagon would come by to pick up the dead bodies, you know, to bury somewhere. And so these things, you know, a lot of these things, they have, I don't know, they're in your mind. It's some things I can't never forget. But you know, there's one thing I can never forget. And that one day, they said the Americans are here coming. The Canadians are here. That means the American and the Canadians have come to set us free. And we got every flag and everything we could carry. We got it out of the cupboards and that. We made our own little flags, and we went, and we were having a parade. While we were having a parade, they didn't think it was true, so they started to shoot a lot of our people. Then I came by a little church, which was bombed, and there was an old minister, Reverend Junker. And Reverend Junker was just there, and he looked at me, he said, "What do the guy here, young? What are you doing here?" I said, "I just came to see. Everything is messed up, isn't it?" "Yes," he said, "but not everything." And he had a piece of flag and a little pole, and he pushed it in between the stones, because that mighty big church was not any higher than about 2 feet. And he pushed it in those stones. He said, "They can take away our building, but they can never take away Jesus out of our hearts." I never forgotten that. Later on in life, when I finally got saved, it came up many times. I went to Bible school and became a Christian, and I've been going ever since. And I'm not saying a fantastic life, but it's a different life. I can say that I know what it is to stand in line for Salvation Army for a meal ticket. I know what it is to walk 12 hours in 50 below zero. I still come out of the life. I know what it is to be beaten up 3 times in a row by gangs, gang beaten. But you know, I went up to Prince Bernard one day and I shook his hand. I'm also a pilot. I fly. And I laid my cap on the wing and I hang on it, you know, and I shook my hand into the hand of the prince. And then I shook hands and I stood one day. I saluted Eisenhower and I had to shake his hand. But you know, when I put my hand in the nail-scarred hand of Jesus, that was the best thing ever happened in my life. I still have that feeling. It's beautiful. It's beautiful to know he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. We have a living God. A living God. And a lot of people listen to the stories. A lot of people talk stories. But folks, we must do the story. And I don't know how much time I have. Done a lot of driving yesterday. And I'll be back, the Lord willing, this afternoon, because I have a few things, very serious things to say. But, you know, when on the end of this service, when these doors close behind us, that is not the end of the service. That is the beginning of a service for our Master and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's when the service begins, when we hit the pavement. And I believe that God is just waiting for His people to tell others, tell the world Jesus saves. Tell the world the wonderful story of His grace and glory. Tell the world Jesus saved. I was going to play something for you. Maybe you can play one song for you. I was 11 years old. The Nazis came to the door and they came to pick me up. They had found out that I played the organ. And that was on purpose, because every time when the Nazis came, my neighbor came and she would say, "Tell your mother, it's going to be a razzia this afternoon. They're going to pick all the men up and they're going to Vught and they're going to go to concentration camps, and so make sure." So I had to play that organ, old pump organ, and the Germans really liked it. They came and they listened and they stood there, the alten Herrn von Liechtenstein, ja, 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 you know, and they thought it was great. But what they didn't know was that I was told to play louder, louder, Toke, louder. So the guys upstairs could hear the loud noise of the organ, and they knew there was a sign. There was a sign that they had to go through the window and escape. Somebody rattle this up here first. En wij hebben een machtig heiland, die nimmer de zijne vergeet. Laat ons van zijn goedheid niet zwijgen, zorg toch dat ieder het weet. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever I am. In 1943, as a little boy, on the way to school, I would always go by De Vries. And De Vries was a couple, and they had a butcher shop, and they liked me. And they always gave me a piece of sausage. And then I had the sausage half in my mouth, and I was running to school. But one morning, there was a great big truck, and they stopped in front of De Vries, the house. They got a hold of Mrs. De Vries and Mr. De Vries, and they just threw them like animals in there. I found out later on that they were killed, and they were burned alive, simply because they were Jewish. They were God's children. And most of the time when I have a meeting in honor of Joseph and Anneke, I sing one of the songs. Terwijl ik lag te slapen, kreeg ik een zoete droom. Ik was in het Oud-Jeruzalem, stond aan de tempelzoom. En ik hoorde kinderen zingen, een lied van blijde klank. Het was als de engelen zich juichend aan een zong. Het was van een paar engelen zich juichend aan hun zong. Jeruzalem, Jeruzalem, nu is uw strijd voorbij. Hosanna in den Hohen, Hosanna, it is vollbracht, and is coming soon, is coming soon. With joy we welcome his returning, and it may be morn, it may be night or noon, I know he's coming soon. Yes, I believe that Jesus is coming soon. The signs of the times are here. You read your newspaper, you read your news on the television, and you see it on everything. He is coming. And you know, I have a feeling, and I've had a feeling for quite a while now, that when Jesus comes, he will come with a shout from heaven. He will come with a shout from heaven. A lot of people are not going to make it. I can think of a few dried out Pentecostals or Presbyterians or whatever. I know they're not going to make it, because the dead in Christ shall rise first. And they may be in Christ, but they're pretty dead. He's going to come for a light and people who are alive. And I visualize myself that every time he went to heaven to his father, he would say, "Can I go now to pick up my bride? Can I pick him up now? The ones I died for?" And Jesus will say, God will say, "No, not yet, son. Not yet." To me, it's so real. Someday, he's going to say, "Father, can I go for my children now?" And you know, even the Jewish people sometimes get pretty noisy. And I have a feeling that when he says, "Okay," he's going to say, "He's coming with a shout from heaven. Hallelujah. The sky is going to break open. And there he comes. Hallelujah." Because I believe he's going to come. And he's going to come soon. Are your suitcases packed? They better be packed and ready for his coming. He's always there when things go wrong. Yes, he's always there when my hope is gone. He lifts me up when I'm in prayer. He's never gone when I'm alone. He's always there. He's upon the mountain. He's down in the sea. He fills all heaven, and he lives in me. He lifts me up when I'm in prayer. He's never gone when I'm alone. Yes, he's always there. Are you folks allowed to listen to yodeling? Because I feel like yodeling. Yeah. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing. Keep me singing as I go. Yodelay, yodelay, yodelay. Yodelay, yodelay, yodelay. Yodelay, yodelay, yodelay. Yodelay, yodelay, yodelay. He said, make an awful, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. You know, I was working in the bush. I had a contract for the paper factories. And some of the guys had come back. And they left, they had left the tools there. And I was in one of those crazy moods. I am, sometimes I do that. I shut myself in, you know what I mean? Like Christmas time, Christmas Eve, you can find me in the stall. I sing to the horse and my donkey. Donkey's name is Jacob. I think he's a little bit Jewish too. And one thing for sure, he's nuts. But you know, we're having a lot of fun. And I make a lot of noise there, you know, right in the middle of the night, Christmas night. And there is something about it. And I just love to praise the Lord. Sometimes I just feel like going in the field. Nobody around. The neighbors are all away from here. So I just raise my hands and I just start worshiping and praising the Lord. And it's a beautiful thing, you know, to praise the Lord. One lady said to me one day, she says, Brother Tom, how come you're always praising the Lord and you're always singing and praying for these people there? They're Presbyterian. And for these people there, they're Baptist. But I've never heard you pray for my daddy. I said, maybe he doesn't understand it. Well, no, it is... See, when Daddy got Alzheimer's, English was gone. He did not understand a word of English anymore. You know, it happened before. And I said, well, how can I sing to him then? Well, the only language Daddy still has is where he was born with. I said, where was he born with? He was born with Hebrew, the language Jesus was born with, and Jesus spoke. I said, oh, that's no problem. So I held her hand and the old gentleman's hand, and I just went, Baruch Ata Adonai, Eloheinu Melech Olam, Vrei Pri Achavim. And I just started to worship and to praise God in the Hebrew language. And I'll tell you something, the goosebumps were just all over me. Beautiful. You do it in the Holy Spirit and you do it as unto God. I tell you, there's something beautiful. Am I out of time, brother? Maybe we can all sing a song. We all know. Oh Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the world and hands at me, I see the stars, I hear the roaring thunder, thine power throughout the universe displayed. Can we sing it together? Then sings my soul, my Savior. My soul. There's always something beautiful in singing, isn't it? It was in 1943, I ran away from home again, and I landed close to Fürth, and I landed close to the Rhine. Now on one side of the Rhine were the Russian soldiers, and the other side of the Rhine were the German soldiers. It was Christmas night. That Christmas night, suddenly some of the Russians started to sing a beautiful hymn everybody knows in Holland. U bitte gern, O Macht der Liebe, I pray to you, O power of love. And then the Germans started to fall in with the song. And both enemies sang praises unto God. It was beautiful until 12 o'clock. They got orders to go and shoot each other again. A sad world we live in, isn't it? A sad world. It always stuck to me, and I'm still singing. They asked me the other day in the park, in the store, and oh brother, can you sing a song for me? And it's my birthday, you know. And so okay, I sang a song, and she laughed. And she thought it was funny, because she turned around. She says, "It's not really my birthday, but I love your singing." She sneaked. Amen. I don't know how we're going to end this. I don't feel like ending. I feel like going on until Jesus comes in the cloud of glory. Amen. Where is brother? Here is the big brother. You want to close up for us? Oh, we have time. Oh my goodness, that's all right. Get me a chair. Yeah, praise the Lord. You know that little song? He's always there when things go wrong. And it's true. I had my daughter come to me. She said, "Daddy, we are looking for Barbara Murphy's father. Can't find him. She hasn't seen her daddy for years. And we don't know where he is." Now, we think that he's in the... Yeah, thank you. I think that he's in a nursing home somewhere. And so I went over and I seen several nursing homes. I couldn't find him anywhere. Then suddenly I had a call late at night. There was a lady, she says, "I am the coordinator of the nursing homes in Niagara Falls area." She says, "I think I know there is a Mr. Murphy there. You want to find that out?" So I went down. There was an old man laying on the bed. He was complaining. He says, "I know I don't have much longer to live. But," he says, "I know that I'm saved. Someone has led me to the Lord. But there's one thing. I wish I could still see my daughter sometimes. I have a daughter by the name of Murphy. And I said, "You know, that could maybe be arranged. Wait for a minute." I went into the hallway and I said to Barbara, "I think I found your father." And there, yes sir, I led her in the room and she flew in the arms of her daddy. She hadn't seen for years because she had gotten into an accident and his head went all rary. And so she found her daddy again. What a beautiful thing. You know, sometimes we can see our father in a distance, in a song. But you know, someday we're going to see him face to face. I was on the boat and I came and I ran away from home as a young soldier. We had about 5 days of storm at sea. And the boat was going like this. And it was a scary thing. And all of a sudden, I said, "Boys, there's something going on there. See all these little black points?" "Yeah," said one guy. He said, "These are cars. These are cars. And they're driving on the border of Halifax. We are almost at the place where we are supposed to go to." And I tell you, when I saw these little specks, you know, I told everybody. I was so happy. I had seen the other sights. You know, and as the man of old saying, "Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord." And you know, when I think about these little specks at a distance, I can't help but think they're little specks, but they're going to be brighter and brighter and brighter. And someday we're going to stand before Jesus. I came home one night and my mom says, "Toke, wanneer moet je praten? I have to talk to you." She says, "Now, I want to know how come you are so different than my other children. You're so different. What have you got I don't have?" And I want it too, whatever it is. I say, Mom, I've got Yeshua HaMashiach in my heart. That is the Messiah, Jesus, in my heart. I have accepted him. She cried, and she was father. I said, he'd gone to the market. And she didn't want him to stand in the way because he would argue. It wasn't too long, or I put my arm around my mom. She said the sinner's prayers, and she became a born-again Christian. She was baptized in the Lauritzgade in The Hague. Later on, my dad too. So I know where my mom and dad are. They're in a safe haven. And if you have loved ones and you love them, you don't like to see them get lost. You don't like them to see them to get drunk or do things they shouldn't. You know, visualize them to be in heaven. Pray much for them. It's going to happen someday. You know, I worked with the homeless, and a matter of fact, this is one part of our tour. We have to go and see the grave for my wife, who has passed away 10 years ago, and my first wife, and I go to the pauper's grave, because there's several there, boys and girls, in the pauper's grave. I have been laying on the benches with them till 3-4 in the morning, till they woke up, sobered up, crying, all the same story. I have nobody. Nobody loves me. Nobody loves me. And I keep on telling them, no, God loves you. God loves you. And it has come up in me several times. What is God going to do with those people, those homeless, who wanted to serve the Lord and they couldn't and they were held back, and there's still mercy for those people in the hereafter? And that's a question that has been on my mind. You know, one day, Purdy came to me, and homeless. He said, Brother Tom, we can't find our home back. Can you see if you can find it? Give me something to drink, please. And can you find it back? I said, I don't know where you live. He says, we live all the way in the bush. Thank you. It'll be safe. If not, we'll take a shower and be baptized all over again, maybe. Anyhow, and they said, yeah, but we live in a tent in the bush. And I said, okay, I'll bring it there, but I'll leave you there because I can't stay there. I have a wife, I have children, and we have several young people who are living with us. I had several juvenile delinquent homes. We had boys and girls given to us in our care. And terrible cases. One little case where there was a 3-year-old girl. She had never been loose. Always been tied with a little chain and tied to the kitchen table for 3 years. She came into our care too. Anyhow, I said, well, I can't go all the way. But I went anyhow. And it was snowing that night. And I walked all the way to the tent. And when I got there, they had some old blankets and rags, and I said, you guys are so drunk and stoned. You go and stay here, and I'll keep the fire going. So I had the fire going right in front of the hut. And then in the middle of the night, would you believe it, I fell asleep. And the whole tent burned down. I had to holler out, boys, it's fire. Let's get out. So there we were. I said to Curdy, you hold on to my belt. And Ronnie, you hold on to Curdy's belt. And Bill, you hold on to Ronnie's belt. And so there we went, all four of us. And of course, they have such a sense of humor, these guys. I had wet feet. I had sore legs. I was tired. I was about 20-some years older than they were. And the one guy starts to sing, oh, when Brother Tom comes to town, when Brother Tom comes to town. And he made a song out of me. He thought it was funny. But I didn't think it was funny. I was so covet. So we came downtown, and there were statements. I said to the man there, I said, can we just get warmed up a little bit? I'll make sure the boys go back home again. He says, get out of here, no loitering in my place. And he was really rough on us. So and I said, boys, I'm sorry, there's nothing we can do. I said to Kearney, one of the boys, I said, Kearney, what can we do? I know. I said, what, Kearney? He said, pray for the sucker. That was his language. Pray for the sucker. I said, okay, we pray for the sucker. Father, he said to God, you know this sucker. And he wants to sucker us in and keep us out in the snow. But you are greater than that. And that he was praying. And all the manager got so mad, he kicked around, I tell you. And he said, get out of here. He said, all right. He said, 5 minutes till 9 o'clock. The customers start coming in. He said, and you go. Okay. So at least we got warmed up a little bit. And on the site, we, you know, were able to steal a cookie or two, you know. That goes with the territory. Anyhow, and so he chased us out. We went home. And two weeks later, he came, and he came right into the store. He said, I want to talk to you. Weren't you one of those bums, those homeless? I said, yes, I'm Brother Tom. That's what I do. I sleep with the homeless. And even if it freezes or not, I sleep with them. If they're too cold, then I let them have my coat for a while, and vice versa. We share the coat and we keep each other warm a little bit. And he said, but you want one of those bums? I said, yes, if you, what you call it. Anyhow, he said, I didn't know that. You're a preacher too, aren't you? I said, yes, I am. Wow. We said, you know what happened? He said, after the guy told me to pray for the sucker, he says, I went home. He says, and I'm an Anglican. He says, and I don't know much about any good prayers. He says, but I prayed and I asked Jesus to take over my life. He says, and today I'm a born again Christian. And for years he has been the manager of the president of the Full Gospel Christian Business Association. And you see, you never know how God works. God works in mysterious ways. His wonders to perform. And it's happening every day. I mean, who in the world could ever think that just an ordinary guy like me, we can walk into the House of Commons and say, hey, I want to go into your chamber. I'm going to sit down and talk to you. They won't let you in usually. But I did. And then I did something else. I was asked by Father McCormick. He said, my name is Father McCormick. I said, how do you do, sir? My name is Father Tom. I got kids, too. You got kids? He said, no. He said, I'm Catholic. We don't have children. Oh, then I can't call you Father, but I'll call you Joe. It's all right. He said, but I want you to speak for us in the St. Mary's College in Brockville. And he says, we've had the Salvation Army. We've had Presbyterians. All different people preach and sing for us, and now it's your turn. We thought, I said, well, why would you pick me? Ah, because you're something else. So I had to speak about their souls, and I asked the Lord then, you know, it was, very ceremonial. I don't know nothing about Catholicism, nothing whatsoever, really. And so the Father says, you're going to bless them, Tom. So he gave me a dish with water. And it looked like what you call that, a mop. There was some, a dish mop. And I was supposed to do something with it. Well, I don't know what to do with a dish mop besides washing the dishes for my mom. So I got a hold of the thing, made it good and wet. So okay, every eye closed. I said, eyes closed. How come you Catholics can't even look God straight in the eyes? You can't even pray with your eyes closed. Eyes closed. And so they did, and I, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and I gave them all a dose of that dirty dishwater. And I thought, oh, well, God has blessed. Who can make it dirty, eh? Yeah, logic. So, and he says, now I want you to pray. And then I prayed that, Lord, I pray that this school is going to be turned into a Christian school, but only Jesus Christ and not Mary. But only Jesus Christ gets honored. Well, they have just closed it up only about a year ago. It has been open as a Christian school for 40 years. Many hundreds of boys and girls have come to the Lord through that organization. You see, there is nothing that God can't do. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthened me, except going through red light, of course. And there's so many things, you know, we are such a privileged people. There's so many things we can do. It's unbelievable. So what we do, my wife and I, at night, we usually go out, we go to Walmart and sit down there, and before we realize, we have a whole gang of people around us asking us questions about the Lord and how we became Christians and how to go about it. And I had a marriage the other day, and one lady wanted to get married. Her husband had died, and she says, "But this is different though." I said, "Well, it's usually always different than me, but what's up?" "Well, it has something to do with the ring bearer." I said, "Oh, who's going to be the ring bearer?" "Well," she says, "I have a little doggy. And my husband, when he was still alive, he loved that dog. And he always said, if you ever get married, the doggy is going to be the ring bearer." So they made a little pillow for him, and they had the rings tagged onto his on the top of the dog. He was the ring bearer. Well, if that makes him happy, hey, go for it. As long as you don't tack anything in my back, it's all right. And so we meet so many different people. That's unbelievable. Unbelievable. Every day. And I get in trouble too sometimes. I'm a pilot, and a policeman stopped me one day. He saw the sign on my car. He said, "Father, you're not driving fast. You're flying low. Show me your pilot license and I won't charge you." And I was lucky. I had just gotten my new pilot license. So I showed it to him. He said, "Get the blankety blank out of here. Say, watch your language. You go to hell if you keep that out of the talk." You know? So I rebuked him too. But he let me go. And so I can... Well, I have some books. If you folks are interested in reading my book, let you have them for printing price, only for $4 a piece, printing price. And so after the service, you can see my wife and she will sell you a book. Are there any questions? You know, that they often ask me. See, I used to be a chaplain. Anybody know anything about Corrie Ten Boom? Well, she was a good friend of our family. I've been in the same concentration camp she was in. And Betsy, her sister, died. And it was one place where she couldn't run. I guess being a woman, she couldn't run as fast as I could. So I ran away. Ran away again. But there's also some stories about her in my book. And so if you are interested in having one of our books, feel free. We also have some nice songs on CDs that I sing on. And I guarantee you, I'll do a better job than I did this morning here. I've been driving all day yesterday, and I'm still tired. Are there any questions? Sometimes people ask me questions. You know what? Where do you get this from? Get that from? You know? Because he's still the great provider, you know. He's still the great provider. I went to a place, and they had a place for sale. And I needed something for the new life home. But the place was $60,000. Unless you can make a better offer. I said, "Oh, I can." I gave him 20. And 10,000 now, and the other 10 if he catches me. And I bought the place, and everybody was telling me I was crazy, you know, to spend that kind of money on an old crate of a house. But after it was all fixed up, I got 185,000 for it. You see, God will bless. He always blesses. Sometimes, you know what I mean, I've been in narrow places. You know, I had to do a solo one day. My captain said to me, he says, "Now you're going to go and do a solo. Make sure you go above the 38,000 feet above sea level." And so I had to take off, and I had to go and 38,000 feet above sea level. And as I was all by myself in my airplane, I like to talk. I thought my instructor was sitting beside me. So I said, "Well, am I doing any..." Oh, sorry. I was going to ask him if I was doing any good. But he wasn't there. There was nobody there. But just me alone, 30,000 feet above sea level, all by myself in a little airplane. And you know, I said, "Lord, I'm scared." And the Lord said, Thou ascends into the heavens, I'm there. Though you descend out of heaven, I am there. I'm always there." I landed beautiful, and I got a real praise for, you know, for bringing the plane down in such a beautiful way. And you know, it shows again, you can do all things through Christ Jesus that strengthened me. All things. We've had group homes. We've had places where some children, they could not be adopted because of their attitudes and other many things. But I've never turned any of them down. Oh, I've been beaten up by them. You know, like one of the stories, and that's when I quit with today, I came into a bar and I handed some tracts in different places, gave everybody a tract about the Lord. And they usually would say, well, hey, come on, have a beer, Tom. And no, here, you read this. And I would go. And one good thing was that they never let me walk out. They always made it pretty easy on me. There has been at least 4 or 5 times where I didn't have to walk out. They threw me out. 2 guys here and 2 guys there, and they threw me out. I landed with my security, you know, on the sidewalk. But one evening I thought, how come everybody is hollering, screaming? There's something going on. Then I saw it. There was somebody entertaining the way she should not have, not covered up or anything. So I said, Lord, what am I going to do now? And I went up to the woman. I said, I came to tell you that you're not disclosing yourself. You know, you don't make yourself naked, but you make those men and women naked in their minds and in their eyes. Why don't you give your life to Jesus? You start to cry. She says, feel to make me a bitten. Because I had a little tract in my pocket. I said, here, read this. And as I opened it up, I thought, oh, dumb Dutchman. It said, was muss ich tun, um gerettet zu werden? That means, what must I do to be saved? In German. And so she looks at us. She says, haben Sie gewusst, ich Deutsche bin? Did you know I was a German? I said, nein, aber Gott wissen alles. God knows everything. And so I said to the owner of the camp, I said, can I use your office to have a prayer with the girl? She said, no, not here, not here. So we had to go and pray in between the beer kegs. 3 years later, I had one of the beatings again, a gang beating. They picked somebody at random, and they beat him so hard, they even feel and see how the pulse is, how far they have gone. And they have beaten me up several times, and that was a terrible situation, I tell you. And so I ran away, and before I did, he was going to give me another punch. I said, there's one thing you can't stop me from doing. He said, what's that? I said, I'll pray for you. So I broke loose. They threw the keys of the truck at me. I started the truck. I went home. My wife said, oh, honey, what happened? Look, you're bleeding and you're a mess. I said, well, that's the guy who beat me up last night. And called the police. He says, get the dog. Get your gun. So no, I told him I was going to pray for him. So we were praying for that boy at 3 o'clock in the morning. As we were praying, there was a gravel. You could hear the gravel in the driveway. So there's another car coming in. I thought, oh, that must be the police. No, that was that gangster. He comes out of his car. I said, yes, sir. What can I do for you? He said, well, I came to tell you that you won last night. He says, I went to sleep. He says, and I couldn't sleep. It was just like a little record right beside my bed. And I kept on saying, I'll be praying for you. I'll be praying for you. I'll be praying for you. I said, well, we were just praying for you. Come on in. And so we made him a cup of tea and a sandwich. We led him to the Lord. And today he is serving the Lord. Sometimes it's worth to get a spanking, you know. You don't really need to get your bottom licked, so to speak. This happened a few times. And it's good. See, people cry ouch too fast, too soon. Well, sometimes the outcome is so beautiful. You know, really, I've had many, many boys and girls staying with us. And they used to steal, and they used to, you know, take the neighbor's car away and just take off and smash things. And sometimes I wondered, you know, is there an end to it? As we are living in a wild world. I worked in a church where we had the KKK, and they kicked the people out who were foreign and people who were black. And so I kicked them out. And that was forbidden because they are the best tithers, they said. I said, I don't care. They're not going to touch our people. So I'm on the list. I'm on the list to be beaten up by the KKK. And I'm not afraid because they're all in the 70s. So they're all about, just about my age. So I can still handle some. Oh, yeah. Are there any questions? You say tonight, this afternoon, I'd like to know so-and-so. You want to come and close, brother? Because I can go on till next Christmas. So many things are happening, you know, really.
I have a question here. What is the closest family or friend that you still have with you from childhood or from the younger years?
What is the...
Friends, relationships from your child years. Do you have any friends or neighbors or men that you would still live with, that you were living with when you were a child?
Well, I know that the world is waiting to be saved. There are many. They're just waiting for you and I to come along. As I said to one good little Presbyterian minister one day, he said, how come? He said, I read in the paper, you got a good beating again, didn't you? I said, yeah. He says, how come they never beat me up? I said, go start, do something. And I meant it. You know, go and do something. There's much to be done. Much to be done. I believe there is a meeting this afternoon yet, this evening, brother. Tonight. Bring some friends along. It's going to be different. It's going to be great. God has a message for all of us. For all of us.